from Luke chapter 2. There's nothing, I think, more special on Christmas Eve than to just simply read the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because of the house and lineage of David. He is to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was while they were there that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you in this day a city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find this babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And so it was when the angels had gone away into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen this, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. 20 amazing verses here in Luke 2. This is really the only Christmas account we have in all of Scripture. 500 years prior to this, Isaiah 9:6, as we've been looking at this over the last 4 weeks, "For unto us," 500 years ago, Isaiah the prophet says, "For unto us a child will be born, unto us a son will be given. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He is our Messiah. He is the Christ, the Lord. Have you ever wondered what it must have been like for the shepherds? Pitch black, maybe a little marine layer from the Mediterranean, a little cold, their little tunics on, maybe a couple stars shining through, but pretty pitch black and dark. And here it says one angel appeared and lit up the entire sky. Can you just imagine just being a lowly shepherd and one angel appears, lights up the entire sky? Remember a year ago when that spaceship or something was coming through? Y'all remember that, right? It lit up the sky. That was one little spaceship thing, whatever that was. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That was amazing, right? We're all Googling, we're all taking pictures of it running through the sky and trying to Google what in the world that thing is. Is it going to come and crash? And, you know, is California going to fall off or something? That was one little spaceship. Can you imagine one angel lighting up the entire sky with his glory? And he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." What is the good tidings that he talks about? The angel says, here's the good tidings. A Savior who is Christ the Lord would be born. His name is not just Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. He is also called the Christ. I'm going to talk about the middle word first. The construction in the original language is actually, He is the Christ, our Savior, and Christ the Lord. Christ takes precedence in this construction. Although it's in the middle, it actually is in the middle for a reason. Because it's center to everything about our Savior. It's center to everything about our Lord. He is Christ. The Old Testament word would be Messiah. Have you ever heard of Messiah complex? I hope no one's ever told you you have a Messiah complex. Right? Have you maybe used that? Like, oh, he's got a Messiah complex, right? What does that mean, Messiah complex? They think they're God, right? Or use at least, you know, colloquially, it's like he thinks he can save the world. Messiah complex is thinking somehow that you're better than you really are and you're God-like. Here the angel appears to the shepherds and says, here is God in the flesh. God coming in the flesh. He's called Christ. That's what Christ means. God in the flesh, Messiah. Wow. Something they have been waiting for since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden some thousands of years prior. Sin fell on the earth. Man can't figure out what to do with sin. Man can't make sin go away. Man just sins, right? Yes? We're all stuck in the same boat. We all sin and there's no way of getting around it. We can confess it, we can repent it, we can try to do better, but we know that we all still sin, do we not? The reality is that we all sin. When mankind fell in sin, God said there's only one reparation for that sin. I must come and die for the sins of the world because man can't. Man could not die for the sins of the world. Man is not sufficient. I know you men are really great. Ladies, you're really awesome. But you're not perfect enough to die for the sins of the world. You all know that when you sin, it has to be repaid somehow. It's no secret. It's no news. Sin must be repaid. Once Adam and Eve sinned, God accounted for that sin, and he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, Messiah, to come and die for the sins. He is Messiah. He's the only one that could wipe away all sins. He is called Christ because he is the only Messiah who could come and die for your sins. He not only is Christ, but he is Christ the Savior. So in the slide, it says Savior Christ the Lord because that's what the angel said. What the angel meant was he is the Christ the Savior and he is Christ the Lord. He is God our Savior, in other words. He is Messiah our Savior. The idea of Savior is only used 23 times in the New Testament. In fact, 3 times only in the Gospels. Savior is a very specialized word that says you can be forgiven of sins. You have the ability to be forgiven of every sin that you've done only because Messiah God came in the flesh to die for your sins. He is the only Savior possible that could rectify your sinful state. Your sins are forgiven. There's 23 times, I'm not going to give you all 23 listings, so I truncated them into 4 little bullet points. Savior forgives us of our sins. A Savior abolished eternal death. A Savior doesn't save you based on your own merits, but based on his merit because he's God. A Savior gives us eternal life. If I could summarize all 23 of the passages where Savior is used, it would be truncated into those things. The Savior gives you eternal life. The Savior abolished death. The Savior forgives you of all your sins. Now, I don't know about you, but I love when my sins are forgiven. How awesome is that? A Savior, Christ, God, is born in the flesh, Messiah, to save you and rid you of your sins. He is an awesome, awesome Savior. Oh, God could have snapped his fingers and got rid of sin, but God said in humility, I'm going to send myself, God, in the flesh, human flesh. See, man was born, Adam and Eve. So man has to die for sin. But there's no perfect man to die for sin. Only the perfect man, God, could come and die for the sins of the world. Our Messiah, God, is our Savior who rids us of our sins and gives us eternal life. But not only is he our Savior, our Messiah, our Christ, our God, is our Lord. Oh, Lord is important. There's 23 times in which Savior is used in the New Testament. 237 times the word Lord is used in the New Testament. I would think the forgiveness of sins would be so important to talk about. And certainly it is in the New Testament. But more emphasis in the New Testament is talked about Jesus being Lord, our God being our Lord, our Savior being our Lord. 237 references in the New Testament just on Jesus being our Lord. And what does that mean? It means owner, master, but more importantly, it's life giver. You see, if you come from a society in which you are a slave and you have an owner, your livelihood is based on the master protecting you. Yes, we have a really tainted look at the idea of master and servant because of many things in American history and in world history. The reality is that many, many masters in the New Testament were very generous and very kind to the servants. Very generous, very kind. So when they hear the idea of a master or owner, they're thinking, oh, I wish I had a master or owner that would provide for me, care for me, protect me, give me life. Because without that master, I have nothing. You know, Jesus saves you of your sins, but guess what he does? Even more important, I don't know about more importantly, equally, not only does he save you of your sins, he gives you life. Jesus, this Messiah who was born, gives you life. Not just eternal life in the future, life right now. You can actually enjoy your life. I'm not saying you're going to have a great life and everything's going to go right for you, but because Christ is Savior, when bad things happen, there's perspective in life. Without God at the helm, I wonder this so often when there's tragedies in so many people's lives and in our world. And my first response and my first prayer is, God, if they could only understand what it's like to be with you. We all go through trials, but I'd rather have God with me through my trial than not God with me through my trial. I can't imagine the lack of peace you must have if God isn't in your world, in your realm. I can't imagine how to go through trials and difficulties if God isn't the source of your life to give you peace. I don't know what it must be like to lose your job and have financial difficulties and not have God at the helm. It doesn't mean that he's going to give you a ton of money and everything's going to go swimmingly right in your life. But it means that when you go through difficulties, he brings life to you. He brings peace. He brings assurance. He brings those good, motivating things in your life to keep you calm and keep you at bay. He is the life giver. He is Lord. He's Lord. God is our Lord. It's not an overlord. It's not an ogre. It's not some mean person. It is a God who brought you eternal life and now promises to help you through all difficult things. Man, when this angel announces, I have good news of great joy for everyone, if they would just believe in this, there is God in the flesh lying in a feed trough. Yeah, he's in a feed, I know, he's God. He's the one who created all things and he's lying in a feed trough right now. Go and worship him. He is God, our Savior. He is God, our Lord. Of course the angels are afraid. And then when the angel is done proclaiming this, it says, suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of angels. I can't imagine a multitude of angels. I mean, a multitude is more than two. A multitude is hundreds. If one angel lit up the sky, can you imagine 100 angels? And what sound they would bring. And what glory and majesty would be in front of them. And they said, glory to God in the highest. That is, in the highest right now, God is receiving glory. And on earth, you get peace. God receives glory in the heavens. But what's going on now? Because of Christ, you get peace. Wow, Christ being your Savior rid of your sins. No payment for sin needed. He took care of it for you. If you're struggling through life trying to do the right thing, maybe, just maybe, I'll get right with God, you never will. Only God can make you right with Him. Let Him. Let God make you right with Him. You strive and strive, trying your hardest to do good, do right, do good. Never enough. Because you know who you are. It's never good enough. God is good enough. To die for your sins, to come selflessly, to be Messiah, to be that Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to be that Lord in your life, to give you life, to give you life right now. We should be the happiest, most joyful people on the planet today because we have a Savior. We have life. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. When the angels did their song and dance and all this stuff, the shepherds went and saw this baby. And they were so amazed. They lied flat on their faces and worshiped Him. And after they worshiped Him, they got up, and it's the middle of the night. They went back into the city, probably woke everyone up, and it says that they made haste and they made widely known all the things that they had seen and heard. The first evangelists, the shepherds, the lowliest of the lowly, the worst people in society are the first evangelists to talk about Jesus, making widespread known how awesome God is. God, this baby that would take our sins away someday and give us life. That's why we celebrate today. Yes, that's why we celebrate today. God, our Savior, comes in the flesh, our Messiah, gives us everlasting life, frees us of our sins, forgives us of all past sins, all present sins, and any future sins. Can anyone else do that? Can your wife do that? No. God promises to wipe all your sins away. What an amazing celebration today that we get to experience God in the flesh coming, dying for our sins, that He could be called our Savior, that He could be called our Lord. So Heavenly Father, this short devotional this evening, we pray that these titles for our Savior Jesus would really resonate with us tonight. Oh, He is wonderful. He is our Counselor. He is the everlasting God. He's the Prince of Peace. And yes, peace on earth is given to us. Should we just simply by faith trust Him? Lord, we love You so much. Thank You for coming in the flesh, dying for the sins of the world. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus, Lord. Thank You so much that we can have everlasting life because He came, died, suffered for our sins. We couldn't make that payment. You did on our behalf. And we trust You as Lord. Thank You for being a life giver to us. Thank You for forgiving us of our sins, but thank You for giving us life. Thank You that we can enjoy this Christmas season full of peace. Oh yeah, maybe things aren't going so well right now in our lives, but the peace knowing that You're our Lord and Savior. Thank You. Thank You for this wonderful celebration of Christ coming in the flesh, that we would have eternal life. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Christ and because of Christ. Amen. Let's worship together.